This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Now you've got to go for the end zone because it's third down and you don't want to settle for the field goal. Third and five, Lamar takes the snap, backpedaling, drifting to the left, running left, right lob back of the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Rashawn Bateman on the receiving end!
Two incredible quarterbacks putting on a show back and forth. Back and forth last night, Bobby. Keep your mouth shut. A couple of tolos during the game already sent me. They're like, how's Bobby going to make us hate him even more with this stupid Lamar Jackson takes? Lamar throws for four. Joe Burrow throws for four. But the Bengals miss a two-point conversion at the end. And the Ravens move on to 7-3 after being down 14 early at home. Cincinnati falls to 4-6.
Yeah, it was a great back-and-forth game. Kind of a reverse for the Ravens. The Ravens have had a tendency to get up and then blow leads. This was one where they fell behind and they had to fight back. And yeah, it was a fantastic job by Cincinnati blowing coverage on Mark Andrews in the end zone. Tylan Wallace running 80 yards on a 2 yard out throw. Lamar's 2 yard out throw was great there on that touchdown.
You're the one who has the troll job is in full effect. You're the one who has the Ravens super high in your power rankings.
I do.
You don't believe in them for their defense, so you're believing in something.
It's got to be for something.
He's a great weapon. He is.
Zach Taylor, sick over losing these big leads against Baltimore this year.
It's a good football team, but we expected to come in here and win, and we did everything we could to do that. Doesn't change the fact that I'm proud. I think everybody on that field fought, gave us a chance. Austin came on the road to a good team, and it's sickening that this has happened twice to us. We got to find a way to close out these games. You know, we had our opportunity. We got down there, went for two, and just didn't work out for us. But this team's going to continue to put us in good positions, and there's going to be a point in the season where that turns, and we'll respond the right way from this game. You got a one-game season next week against the Chargers before the bye. And so we'll get our bodies right and get ready to go fight them.
Since he's third in the North, Baltimore actually is second at 7-3 because the Steelers are 6-2.
Yeah, and I mean, Pittsburgh, I think most of us are waiting for them to just falter.
Yeah.
But they never do. That's the thing about the Steelers. I mean, they falter eventually in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they're still, I mean, they're going to wind up getting out there and they're going to win 10, 11, maybe 12 games this year, and no one will pick them to win a single playoff game.
The AFC starting at the sixth seed is pretty gross. The Chargers are the six. Denver's the seven. Indianapolis is the eight. Ew. Cincinnati is the nine.
I don't think there's a single team out there that wants to see any part of Cincinnati in the postseason. They're scary.
They've had such. Like, I mean, they blow games, mm-hmm. like, the flat out. That's on them. But, I mean, they've had such bad luck in terms of, I don't think there's any chance they lose to New England again like they did week one. They lose by a point to the Chiefs in a game where there was some question about an interference call at the end. They lose in a shootout with the Commanders. They lose by three to the Ravens. Last night, one to the Ravens. And yeah. So, I mean, they've had some really narrow margins here in big games where this season could have flipped. It's just Zach Taylor's not done a good job late in games.
Well, and they could easily make the case that there was the rough of the passer, hands to the face on the final play. That on the 2-point conversion. I mean,
I saw the receiver more.
Yeah.
tied up and interfered with, but they decided with the no call. Look what just dropped. You know that media times things out when they release. We have the profile interview with Ralph James Choppy that just dropped from Barrett Sports Media. How about this?
How about that? Do we need 40 minutes on this thing.
Do we need to go through this at all and be worried about you insulting the three of us on here?
Yeah, or is this going to be like your post on Will's Facebook yesterday?
I didn't talk much about Bobby.
Nice.
I did say some very nice things about Sean, though.
Is that because he chickened out of the Jerry interview?
Pretty much.
I did that because of his Will comment to get back for you.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of the rest.
One of those is a fact.
Of the NFL, fact or fiction with Ralph James?
Fact or fiction, Jared Goff will win the MVP.
Fiction right now, it looks like. I mean, who's the betting favorite had been Josh Allen in recent weeks.
Well, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Lamar's going to go ahead and win it again.
Yeah.
I have the numbers from Bet Online. Josh Allen is second. Lamar's first. This was before last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only going to help him more.
Right.
Lamar, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, then Jared Goff, followed by Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts. I'm going to say this. I don't want to sound like I agree with Bobby. And I have to go back, Choppy. You're going to have to dig up all the numbers. It feels like the NFL MVP last year and this year has really been watered down. That's just a brain mental observation. I have not clicked on the numbers to go and look it up. It feels like last year, okay, like kind of like by default, Lamar, go ahead and win it. Josh Allen, I haven't been like superhuman season for him to go ahead and win this thing. Mahomes, for him to be third, to me, that is just Vegas covering their rear end. We all know he has not had an MVP season. We're talking about Jared Goff with insane completion numbers, but they're winning, you know, some games with him throwing no passes. Right. So it's like, how is he going to win the MVP? It feels like to me, maybe this is a bigger separate topic, the NFL MVP has dropped off in terms of quality.
I think it has. I think you're right.
All right, that's all the research I needed. You just saying I'm right. I agree.
Because, like, you know, he's completed 30 straight passes to Amon-Ra St. Brown. 30 straight. That's 1 in 780,000 chance of doing that. They have more touchdowns than incompletions in their last six games. Right? And those are just stupid numbers. But it also shows, A, the receivers are getting open. He's on a deadly accurate streak right now. And
I know, but in the last two games, Jared Goff has thrown for 230 yards total.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't needed to. Four touchdowns, by the way. But I'm just saying, we're talking about him as the MVP with 145 and 85 in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
That's not MVP.
It's not. It's not. Those are not gaudy stats. He's like the precision passing rate. That's a new stat they have.
With the tight windows and everything.
He's doing very, very well in that. But
he's 17th in yards. He's 9th in touchdown passes. He's 14th in QBR. And we're having this discussion about him. I think it's the quality of the argument.
I think this is as good as Lamar's played, like throwing the ball. Like if you look at the way that he is, and you look at his numbers right now, he leads the NFL in touchdown passes. He leads the NFL in adjusted net yards per attempt. He leads the NFL in passer rating. He leads the NFL in QBR. Like he's across the board. He's 24 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Last year, I agree. He's already hit his touchdown total passing from last year. He had 24 last year. He's got 24 now. And so he's playing out of his mind. Last year, I agree, it felt kind of like a default. Because remember, it was entering December, we were like, is Dak a candidate? Like, it wasn't clear who was separating themselves. Lamar is playing the best right now. And so it's setting up right now, it feels like, for him to win
Jaden
it again.
Jaden is another one you got to watch out for.
So my answer to, and again, Jaden Daniels is not like playing like he's not an MVP, a superhuman season. My answer is fiction. Jared Goff will not win the MVP. I think part of the thing that's going to hurt him, Detroit is so good. He can beat you in so many different ways. He doesn't have to throw for 200 yards.
Absolutely. Next one, fact or fiction. Washington will have the rookie of the year, the coach of the year, and even the executive of the year.
Yeah, it's a fact. That's the way it's said. The one that's the shakiest might be Quinn, depending on how.
He's the leader right now at Bet Online for coach of the year. Guess second, third, fourth.
Second, O'Connell, yeah.
O'Connell's fourth.
Tomlin?
Fourth.
Yeah. Tomlin's fifth.
Harbs?
Don't overthink it.
Andy Reid.
Yeah. Andy Reid, they still are undefeated, 4-1. Dan Campbell is 8-1. Then Kevin O'Connell, Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton.
Okay. You know, I'll tell you this. I mean, like, I expected the Chiefs and the Lions to be good. You know what I mean? I expected them to be really good.
Is that an expectation award?
I think so.
No, a lot of times I think it's a surprise. It's a surprise team award. That's why Dan Quinn's leading.
Dan Quinn is the one that would be the shakiest to me, because if for some reason they fall off or Pittsburgh continues to win games, Tomlin could win it, and just different guys. So that's the shakiest. But right now, yeah, I would say all three of those are likely.
All right, NFL.
What was the question again?
Washington will have the rookie of the year, coach of the year, and executive of the year. Like, Jaden's easily going to win the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
I think Adam Peters is easily going to win executive of the year.
What do we think Washington's record will finish as? And will that beat out what the Chiefs will end up? How many games do the Chiefs have to lose in order for it to sway the award?
Well, if they go undefeated, he's going to win it.
Yeah.
Right, I think. And even 15-1.
Yeah. Like, how many losses does Reed have for Quinn to win it?
16-1, I guess. No more than two.
If he has three losses, Dan Quinn wins it. But you're not thinking, you're going to answer fiction for your own question. You're not buying Washington.
I don't buy Washington, no. And I got to look at the rest of their schedule. Like, they've got, look, I think they're going to lose to Philadelphia twice. I think they're going to lose to Atlanta. They play the Steelers this week. They'll probably win. I think they'll split with the Cowboys.
So you think Philly wins the NFC East?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Right now,
I
do.
I think Washington goes 12-5. So, and I mean,
12-5 versus 14-3. Who gets it?
Washington winning 12 games is default. Give the award. I don't care if somebody else went undefeated. Like, the fact that Washington wins 12 games would be insane.
Because that would be such an improvement over the previous year.
Yeah.
Whereas even 17-0 is not that great of an improvement over whatever the Chiefs were, 13-4. Fact or fiction? NFL, fact or fiction? Arizona will win the AFC West. They're the only.
That's fiction.
Arizona's in the NFC.
What did I say?
AFC West.
Oh, I did write AFC. They'll win the NFC West. They're 5-4. Everyone else is 4-4 or worse.
Fiction.
It'll be San Fran. San Fran's going to get it corrected. San Fran's the only one with a positive point differential in that division.
Wow. Oof. Yeah. Arizona's -7. The Rams are -24. Arizona, they have the same amount of losses as San Fran. They just have one more win. No, they're not winning the West.
I agree. They're not. They have played the teams in the division tough this year.
I almost feel like Arizona are they getting too much credit?
Yes.
For being 5-4? Are they getting too much? We just expected 3-14. We expected 4-13 with the number one pick at quarterback.
Now they do deserve credit for obviously being a team that was really competitive with Buffalo, arguably should have beat them in week one. Mm-hmm. They kept it competitive with the Lions in week three. And so, they've had some really bad blowout losses. Like, the Packers and Commanders beat the hell out of them. And
but
so,
they beat San Fran, right? They beat L.A.
They did beat San Fran. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Dolphins and the Bears. And so, but I still think it's a little too much credit. They're better than I expected, but I don't think they're good.
I agree. I think it's San Fran's division to lose, obviously. The Raiders will have the number one pick and still not take a quarterback.
Man, what you sent me last night on Devontae, that was bad. We don't have enough time for it, but holy crap, that was bad with that insider report on what a problem Devontae Adams was there.
Dude, yeah, he's got a lot of issues right now, he's mirroring Aaron Rodgers, essentially, is what he's done.
Why are you throwing in that they wouldn't take a quarterback?
Because of the Raiders, they just do.
Or because they're picking number one and there's not a quarterback worthy of taking number one.
Chambers listen to that right now with Shador? Vegas has Shador, our favorite, at number one. They will take a quarterback.
Nice. I'll bet anybody on it.
That is fiction.
That's fiction?
That the Raiders will take a quarterback if they have one.
They will take a quarterback regardless. I think they're not picking one, though. I think the Patriots are terrible.
And they're not. The Panthers are not as good as the Raiders, I don't think.
No, they're not.
No.
They're not. The Raiders are better. The Raiders are a bit of a mess.
Although the Panthers beat the Raiders by 14, so.
Oh, gosh. Finally, there are 12 teams in the NFC with better records than the Cowboys. 12. They absolutely should start Trey Lance.
Fiction. I agree with McCarthy, who joined us last hour. Go ahead and play 2, 3, 4 games with Rush. if you lose those games, if you go 1-3. Now, look, there's two answers. One is for that answer I just gave was for the organization and in the locker room. As a sports talk host and a fan, they should just be as miserable as possible. That would mean play Trey Lance. For the organization, Mike McCarthy and the locker room, you play Cooper Rush here over the next 3, 4, maybe 5 games. If you lose them all, then you go over to Trey Lance. But no, I do not believe organizationally you could play Trey Lance today. Cannot.
Yeah,
you have to try to win. You have to try to compete until you're definitely totally out of it. We know they're out of it, but till they're definitely technically out of it.
You gave a 4th-round pick. I think you got to see what it is. Like, if you believed in it, if you believed in the evaluation,
no,
you had a 4th-round pick, play it.
Stop. Regardless, they already know, they know what it is. They've had him long enough to evaluate. And stop acting like they traded for him yesterday. They know what it is, and you know what it is. We all know what it is.
I know what it is. Show me what it is. Now, here's the thing.
They did in the preseason, the training camp.
Here's the other thing, is that regardless of who's out there, Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott, Trey Lance, this team's finishing with a top 10 pick, so I don't think it totally matters.
Ooh, if Cooper Rush plays the rest of the games versus Trey Lance, there's a 3, maybe 4 win difference between the two.
Throughout the remaining games?
So you think Cooper wins 3 more games and Lance wins none, basically? Because I thought with Dak they were winning 3 more games the rest of the way.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if there was a, I sent you guys the quarterback differences, Cooper Rush is that much better than Trey Lance, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yes. The gap between Dak and Rush is smaller than the gap between Rush and Lance.
Oh, yeah. Not even close.
Infinite numbers, right? It's like, and Vegas will tell you the same thing. Like, if Cooper Rush starts, it's about a 3 to 4 point difference than Dak. If Trey Lance starts between Rush, we're talking about 10 points.
NFL fact or fiction with Ralph James Choppy here on DFW Sports Station. Go see the KMC Masterpiece in Fort Worth at the Buffalo Wild Wings, brought to you by Miller Lite, with your chance to win Cowboy tickets. Let's bring back the enemy, the evil troll. He's on the sidelines. He is the Burger King.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Howard Eskin from WIP and Filthy previewing Sunday next. Cowboys, Filthy, 7.5-point spread, 12:30 pregame show, play-by-play with Brad and Babe, all on this radio station, also known as the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, and part of the Eagles coverage, has been this guy for a long, long time. He is Howard Eskin, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline from WIP in Filthy here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Howard.
What a wonderful morning to start it off with you guys. It is such a treasure and a pleasure. But I have a question for you. Can I object to your questions like one of your guests does, the clueless guest that you had? Because, you know, how can you ask that question? Can I object? Because I know that's happened with you guys, the objections.
When you saw that story, first off, you didn't reach out like I thought a nice person would and offer your condolences or words of encouragement. Did you immediately know that it was us? What did you think when that story happened?
Well, I thought it was just a bunch of losers. So you guys letting him do that.
Oh, God.
You know, come on. And like, who is he? He's built a horrible team, America's team. What America are we in when that football team, and because the Cowboys suck, what America are we in? And he's the genius that built that football team. He's the genius that gave Dak Prescott a contract, and now he's stuck. The turnover machine, the overrated quarterback at Dak Prescott. He's the genius that doesn't have a running game. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Now, what can I say? And you got a coach that all of a sudden says his team practiced hard. What the hell do they do the other weeks of the season? What, do they didn't practice hard? I mean, give me a break.
Howard, does it feel like Sirianni has saved himself, or is he still on the chopping block for this season?
Well, Philadelphia people always want to rip something, so I get it.
And you don't. I love how you get on us for how we handle Jerry while you're sitting there keeping Sirianni's Gatorade and water cold on the sideline next to Big Dom.
Hey, listen, I think he's a good Big Dom. Everybody wants to get on Big Dom.
Yeah.
Sirianni is a good coach. I think he's a good coach. I mean, greatness comes with a lot of years. He's won more games in his first 3 years as head coach than any head coach in the NFL ever. And he's second in the NFL right now in percentage of wins since 2021. You base it on results, and he's got results. His personality is out there. He's very emotional, enthusiastic, which I like that rather than that stone face loser of a coach that you have. what did he throw down his clipboard for?
That's a tablet, geezer. Dang, Power. What else do you think
clipboard.
He's writing down with a feather
he's
pen?
Got a clipboard?
Think he's doing a playbook with a feather pen out here? And I know you're not talking about sideline antics. You have the biggest douchebag in the whole league, and you're talking about our guy's sideline antics with Sirianni. Your quarterback has to keep him in check and his emotions in check. You know, if he was in any other city and you weren't holding his headphone wire, you'd be killing him and destroying him. You know it.
Wait a minute. His quarterback doesn't keep him in check. He's got people there.
Well, Big Dome.
He's the head coach.
Dome. His quarterback doesn't talk to him.
He's the head coach of a winning football team. You have a head coach of a losing football team for years. I mean, you've won in the regular season, but we know that's useless. Regular season wins unless you win in the playoffs. And Sirianni's going to, like any coach, has to have results in the playoffs. That's what it really comes down to. So, who would you rather have? And don't tell me Mike McCarthy over Nick Sirianni, because then you guys show me you really are clueless.
We are going to have a head start on our next guy versus you guys.
That's true. That's true.
Howard Elston. I hope you hire Bill Belichick. I hope you hire him, because he is so overrated. He won with Tom Brady, and he didn't win without Tom Brady. So go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead. Pay Bill Belichick all that money. And you have a losing team for more years ahead.
Howard and Eska join us here, 105 through the Fan. All right, you like Sirianni? I actually like Nick, but what does he actually do well as a coach?
Well, it's hard to have a coach that has respect and the players like you. It's hard to have both, and he does. He's creative. His team meetings, you know, whether you like Jason Kelce or not, he said he's the best coach in team meetings that he's ever had. And Andy Reid was here. So that has to say something. Now, meetings translate a lot of times to what happens on the field. He really does energize the players. He really does have a very creative mind. And he's got the players that'll go through a wall for him. You're going to tell me that half the guys on the Dallas Cowgirls go through the wall for Mike McCarthy? Really? Are you going to tell me that? Because then I'd really be disappointed in you guys. I would really be disappointed. And then I would object to the next question. I'm going to see what I can do about you guys.
Oh, God, here we go.
Howard, we can say that it's hard to be liked and respected and does that a good job. Why can't he get either from his quarterback, who it keeps being reported, they got to have Kellen Moore come in and bridge the gap between the two because they can't even talk to each other?
Well, that's what happens when you read social media. It's not social and it's not media, and you believe all that stuff. Now, Jalen Hurts, I'll say, is a little bit different of a guy, and they get along very well this year.
Oh.
You know, they do.
Here's Pravda.
Well, wait a minute.
It's a good reference.
They get along. Really they good. Get along well. Now, does that mean he doesn't disagree with some of the things that Nick Sirianni does? But the reality is, Kellen Moore is calling the plays. So when people say, oh, he doesn't get along with Nick Sirianni, for what reason? For what reason? Kellen Moore is calling the plays. When you have a situation late in the game and you have a timeout and you discuss it, they discuss the plays, and Nick Sirianni say this might work, but they all agree. In the end, they all agree with the play call. But during the game, during 98% or 99% of the game, Kellen Moore is calling the plays. So when the quarterback is objecting or reportedly is objecting, what is he objecting to? I mean, you guys just buy into all this nonsense. Yeah. Hey, listen, there's not players that agree with everything. You don't find it anywhere. You think Joe Burrow agrees with everything that his head coach is saying right now, even though he's had some really good games? No, he can't agree with everything. But as long as the team moves forward, now they're losing with a great quarterback, and that's not a good thing either.
Have you gotten any good questions in for Sirianni's kids at the press conferences lately?
Oh, God, oh, Howard. Wow. Please tell me you destroyed that. The using your kids as a human shield because you're too soft to be up there. So please tell me you killed that.
He's done that before. It's not his whole family was there from out of town, and obviously his kids were there. I don't know that they're there every game, and he was happy that they won a game. It wasn't a pretty game against Cleveland. But to use him as a shield, every question that the reporters wanted to ask, the brilliant reporters that wanted to ask, they were asked. Every question was asked, and it wasn't because the kids were or weren't there. Now, he's not going to bring his kids up anymore because people make an issue of it. I'm going to tell you something. I took offense to that, and I'm going to try to be serious with you guys, which is really hard to do because it's you guys. You know, my son, who's on the air now, in the afternoons at WIP. Well, when he was a kid, I shared, because I didn't have enough time at home because I was working nights. I was at games all the time. So he met Michael Jordan through my work, best basketball player ever. Wayne Gretzky, best hockey player ever. Some of my other kids met Shaq and Rodman. Rodman was really strange, but it was really cool because he was so goofy at the time. And my daughter got to meet Taylor Swift because I'm friends with her dad. Well, my other daughter got to have lunch with John Bon Jovi. She was a big fan, and I knew John by covering games through my work when he owned part of the Arena football team. So they all shared in experiences because I allowed them to share in experiences. So the kids being up there, it's just an experience. That's all a parent's trying to do. And, you know, and I was trying to be serious in that regard. Yeah. And I took offense. I took offense to that. I don't care whether his kids are up there. Ask the questions. Who cares?
Howard Eskin, D&M Leasing Hotline from Filthy here on 105.3 The Fan. The Metroplex was ready to run Kellen Moore out of town. Bobby here was very upset about it, though. He loves Kellen. What has Kellen Moore been for the Eagles offense?
Well, once the quarterback got comfortable with his offense, he likes to run a lot of plays under center, which the quarterback wasn't comfortable with because you can have better play action, more motion, and a couple of coaches, and Mark Sanchez actually brought up a point that quarterbacks sometimes aren't comfortable being under center with play action because when you turn away from the line, some quarterbacks don't process things as quickly when you turn back to look when it's not a run, but it is a pass. So now they're running more plays under center. They can do more things. And obviously Saquon Barkley adds a lot to what they do. But I think Kellen Moore is now running more of his offense that he wants to run because the quarterback now has become more comfortable with what he's doing. So I like Kellen Moore. I think he's another guy that is creative. And with Nick Sirianni, I think they have a creative offense. And I think Kellen Moore has done a good job here. I don't know what the issue was in Dallas, but I guess Mike McCarthy wanted to run the ball all the time, that brilliant head coach that you got.
What did you honestly think of the Saquon acquisition, and could you have dreamed it worked out this well?
Well, I thought, this is what I, when they got him, I said, they just got another receiver, and that's why they paid him more money than you would think that they would pay a running back. He hasn't been as much of a receiver as before, but as long as he's healthy, he's obviously very good. And it's hard to find a player that cares so much about his teammates. You can talk about players. Oh, yeah, he cares about his teammates. This guy didn't want to go back in the game because he wanted somebody else when he was 13 yards away from 100. And he told the head coach, listen, no, let the other guys, as he said, let the other guys eat. And I saw him when I was on the sidelines. I said, he's not going back in the game. And I give him, and then he hugged Gainwell, the other running back, when he didn't score a touchdown because he wanted him to succeed because he wasn't in there. He is a great teammate and obviously a hell of a running back. And I just, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be really good. I expected him to catch the ball more and not run the ball as much, but I did not have any doubt that he was going to be a good running back for the Eagles and a better running back. So, hey, listen, who is it? Swift, who went to Chicago, I think.
Yeah.
He gained 1,000 yards last year, but what's 1,000 yards in a 17-game season? It's meaningless. But what Saquon does, he does more than just have success on the field. He has success with his teammates off the field. And that's being legit. I mean, I learned more about the guy. I heard he was a good guy, but he's a really, really good person too. And that's, you need that on a football team, which the Cowboys have not had enough of those guys.
give us how the East finishes 1-2-3.
Eagles, Washington, Giants.
Oh, of course. Oh, gosh. You think y'all beat Washington?
They play them after they. The only problem I have with Sunday's game, I don't have a problem with the game. The only question I have is don't take the Cowboys for granted, even though they suck. even though they really are. I'd rather have Prescott play because he's a turnover machine, but now you got to deal with Cooper Rush. But the Redskins or the Washington or whatever the hell they call their name, these days, they play them on Thursday after this game. Don't look ahead to the Washington game. You got to take care of the Cowboys and kick their ass like you should do. That would be an embarrassment. That would really be an embarrassment. Hey, you won your only division game. You beat the Giants by 5 points. Whoopee. Wow, that's really exciting. I'm telling you, that shows me a good football team.
What happens on Sunday?
The Eagles win by double digits. And there's no question. Even with a less than full effort, they're still going to beat the Cowboys. And they should beat them easily. Get up on this team. Then what do? Can't pass, can't run, can't have Jerry Jones do anything more because he's already messed it up enough. So what are you going to do? The Eagles win this game.
All right.
No question.
I got to be serious with you here and talk about something else happening in your city. Howard Eskin, WIP. What the hell is happening with the Embiid situation? Oh, is he hurt? Is he not hurt? Did you know the reporter, the shove? What is happening with Embiid?
Well, I'm not a fan of the reporter, so let's get that out of the way. And he just there's been too many times where he takes liberties. But it's they're both wrong. Embiid was wrong for shoving him. He waited for him. He didn't even play in the game, and he's still sitting in the locker room 10 to 15 minutes when the media comes in the locker room, please. He shouldn't have been there. That's number one. Embiid will be hurt for the rest of his career. He's a lazy player. Ooh. He doesn't listen to the coach. He doesn't play for his teammates. He plays for himself. The question I get a lot is, well, why doesn't he just give the team 15? Now, his knee's always going to be bad. It is what it is. You're going to have to play on it, and that's the end of that story. But why doesn't he play 15, 18 minutes to help his team?
Yeah.
And you know why? It's pretty simple. Because it lowers your seasonal. If you play 15 to 20 games and only play 15 to 18 minutes, you're not going to have as many points. You're not going to have as many rebounds. And it lowers your seasonal average because it's figured into it. He's playing for himself. So he's going to play on Tuesday, from what I understand, when the Sixers are back home. Yeah, but he's not going to play on Wednesday. There's a home game against Cleveland. Cleveland's undefeated, but he's not going to play back-to-back games because that's just who he is. I mentioned, how many games are you going to have Embiid, Paul George, and Maxey in the same game? My number is 35. And I think I was high.
Yeah.
35 games will all play together. Embiid is not a winner. They should have traded him 3 years ago. The president general manager is a total fraud. Daryl Morey has never done anything to improve this team. The Sixers are the only team that would have given Paul George a 4-year max contract, so that's why he came here. That's the only reason he came here, because he got the 4-year max contract. He, other than last year, when I think he played either 71 or 74 games because he was playing for a contract, he averaged 50-some games a year the four previous years. Mm. I mean, I didn't even realize he's a nice player. He's a good player, but he's hurt all the time too. But Embiid's going to be hurt for the. And then the moron Daryl Morey, and what a clueless guy he is and a fraud. He gives him a 3-year extension, and you have a physical before you sign a contract. They knew his knee was a problem, and they extend him 3 years, which gave him 5 years more with the Sixers at an average of $62.5 million a year.
Woo!
Now, what incentive does Embiid have to play? Mm. Really, I mean, really. And he'll want out if they're not going to be better. He's not going to go anywhere else because he's got such a comfort level. And I'll share this with you because I've done it on the air. Embiid shows up on games he plays for home games 45 to 50 minutes before tip off.
What?
You're kidding me, right? Yeah, I didn't believe it. You know, some of the technical people that shoot the players coming in,
yeah,
told me, yeah, he doesn't get here till 45-50 minutes before tip off. So I happened to be by an elevator to go up to one of the suite levels to see some people, and that's where they come in. And he comes in for a game that he played. I looked at my watch, 47 minutes before tip off.
Wow,
you got to be kidding me. This is who he is. And when you guys, it might have been you guys or somebody in San Francisco, maybe it was San Francisco that wanted him. Take him. get him out of here. You're never going to, the Sixers will never, and that's capital letters. For you guys, I'll spell it. never win a championship with Joel Embiid on this basketball team.
Wow.
Never. That's capitalized, by the way. And you guys probably know how to do that.
Figured it out. Imagine if Embiid played for the Eagles, Howard be here. Like, he's the Cal Ripken of football.
Yeah.
He's the greatest teammate in the history of football.
I know.
You guys are nitwits.
Enjoy your trip. Bobby, kick him in the stones in the press box. Thank you, the Burger King. Howard Eskin on the D&M Leasing Hotline from Filthy and WIP. That is an absolute disaster.
Oh, it's crazy.
They're going to have to try to deal. They're going to have to deal him for 30 cents on the dollar.
Embiid?
Yeah. He can't survive there.
No,
it's
he
over.
Can't.
Did Daryl Morey know he couldn't play back-to-backs when he gave him the deal?
What? I mean, how do you not know?
Yeah. That is an absolute mess. Let's clean out the mess of the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
The things we're not able to get to throughout the week here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We'll make the official picks for Cowboys-Eagles at 8 o'clock, and Bobby may have some bad news when it comes to the referees.
But let's help this couple out, this young couple getting married.
Kidding. Joking.
They can't figure out what name to use. What name to go by.
Their last name?
Their last name. Her last name is Bonadonna.
Bonadonna?
Bonadonna. Bonadonna, sorry.
Bonadonna.
Danielle Bonadonna. His name is Jacob Bartlebaugh.
Oh.
And they can't decide.
Just go by the first name.
If only we had a historic guide for how last names work when you get married.
Yes, well, this is 2024, Bobby. But they are very attached to their last names. They have not been able to decide what they want to do when they eventually do get married.
They're very attached. I thought they were going to say they're both awful.
Yeah, I thought
so
it was like,
we're screwed either way.
Yeah, I thought it was like, what name do we pick because we don't want either of these?
Well, that could be it. But people are going, you know what, over the idea that we could be named the Bonadonna Bartlebaughs. Like, just hyphenate the name. Mm. Danielle Bonadonna Bartlebaugh. and Jacob Bonadonna Bartleba.
Yeah.
So they're asking the people at their wedding to vote when they get there.
Oh.
And decide on what the last name is.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
that's cool.
I guess the question is that which one are you choosing if you're voting, but also
Bonadonna.
Bonadonna. I'm absolutely going with Bonadonna, I think.
I'm going with Bartleba.
Bartleba.
Like we have throughout history.
What do you mean?
You know what
I'll choose the man.
You know what I mean.
What if Mackenzie goes to Peyton and says, I'll marry you, but you've got to take my last name?
I'd call off the wedding.
There we go, Peyton.
We know how much you lie on air now. Oh. Halloween decorations.
Yes.
I can't take anything you say seriously. I really can't. You wouldn't even take the video, the pictures. You crumbled. And now you already have the Christmas decorations up. So I don't know how much I trust. I don't want to. Her last name starts with an L, right? I don't want to say the last name, but I don't think Peyton. I think he put his foot down on that.
I think he would.
What about you? You could have a cool last name.
I'm thinking of
a very fitting with the election too.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm thinking of combining them and just going Choppyman.
Choppyman.
Okay. She's Countryman.
Okay.
I mean, I would absolutely. I'd be down with that. That's fun. It's funny.
Yeah, I would have put my foot down on this. I would have said no. We're not doing this.
What was her maiden name?
Rodriguez.
Bobby Rodriguez. That sounds cool.
Yeah. You go by Robert.
Robert. Well, there's a director.
Robbie
named
Rodriguez.
There's already a Robert Rodriguez. He's a director.
That's right. Okay.
Robbie Rodriguez.
I can't take that one.
That was it.
Speaking of, we were just talking about, you know, a lot of election stuff this week. There were some disturbing Google trends out there, Sean.
It was a wonderful day.
The days leading up to and on election day.
By the way, his new chief of staff is the daughter of Pat Summerall. How about that? Daughter of Pat Summerall. She's the chief of staff.
And I saw today she's the first woman chief of staff ever. That's surprising.
Yeah, surprising to Mark Cuban as well.
Well, it looks like some folks were in the dark about what's been going on the last couple months. You know, sometimes we say, you know, we'll talk about a story or whatever, and like, you don't necessarily need to reset that aspect of it because everybody knows. Apparently not everybody knows some of these things. In the days leading up to the election and on election day, there was a massive spike in Google searches for terms like, did Joe Biden drop out and is Joe Biden running?
This is amazing.
In fact, the largest spike of is Joe Biden running was found in California, Kamala Harris's home state.
What?
Where they would know, I would think, that she's running now.
You would think so.
Now, does this have to do with those 100,000 Amish voters that were registered in Pennsylvania? Like, did they just get access to technology and were like, who's running?
Yeah.
Like they have no concept of it. But this seems like a massive blind spot that there's no excuse for.
Sometimes we'll get this with our jobs when people are like, oh, like, so-and-so, that show's still on?
Yeah, it's been 4 years.
It's been 4 years? Like, what time slot are you guys on? And it's been a number of years. And to think that there's some people so unaware that they didn't know Biden dropped out, that's shocking and kind of frightening.
It's very, very frightening. They have votes. On election day, I'm watching all this coverage leading up to the polls closing. They do these exit interviews, right? And there was this one guy on there, and they're like, "What?" They asked, why did you vote? Who did you vote for? All the things. And he said, well, I wasn't going to, but my girlfriend said if I didn't vote, she was going to break up with me. He goes, I just want to get home and eat some chips, which that's code for I want to go home and smoke weed, because that's what you do. That's why you're eating chips at home. Nobody eats chips at home. Just eat chips at home, right?
Nobody eats chips at home?
As an in-between snack, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, like, if somebody tells me they're going to go home and eat chips, I know exactly what they're doing right before they're
eating chips. Have you ever known anybody who actually broke up over a vote or politics? Like, I know people who didn't pursue a relationship because of it.
I don't know anyone who is in that opposite of a relationship to begin with.
I saw on TikTok and stuff, there's a lot of people that said they were doing that, but how much of that, you can't believe anything you see anymore.
Yeah.
Like, is that just, are they just saying that for TikTok?
Right.
See, that was the biggest thing you mentioned at that point. You don't know anybody that opposed.
No.
That was why I couldn't buy the whole idea of, like, well, there's this potential massive split of wives voting for Kamala and husbands voting for Trump. I'm like, I don't know couples like that.
No.
Like, I know couples who are either all Kamala or all Trump, and there's no real split in between.
Unless they were quietly, they said silent voting.
Silent voting.
They were like making sure the spouse didn't know who they were really voting for behind the scenes. The Junk Drawer here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Did you guys talk about the marijuana getting passed?
Yes, we did.
The decriminalization.
So that feels like a lot.
Man, four ounces?
That feels like a lot. Quite a bit. Like
that
a lot to have on you. If weed is not your thing, though, and you want alcohol, you can drink the literal tears of your fellow Cowboys fans or of Eagles fans thanks to an initiative that's going on this Sunday. So Fireball Whiskey is doing this insane attention grab thing, it feels like, for PR. They are going to have a new batch of whiskey coming out next year that will include real tears cried by football fans at rivalry games. What? It'll be called Crier Ball.
Crier Ball, not Fireball?
I like it.
That's solid. So they're going to take actual tears, and they're going to have what they're terming, the exact word is Fireball Tear Collectors, and that's all capitalized, by the way, so this is an official title. They are going to be at football games collecting either the sad tears or tears of joy from football fans, mixing it into a batch, and then you can drink the tears of your opponents. And in the first
all-time
game,
South Park episode.
The first game where your tears are so good, yes. Scott. The first game where they're going to collect tears is this Sunday. If you go to AT&T Stadium,
are you being for real?
Yeah, they're going to be Fireball Tear Collectors at Eagles Cowboys this weekend.
No way I would drink this.
Are you walking around and just looking for someone to cry? And then you have a test tube that you're holding underneath?
So it says the company says that for safety, the Fireball Tear Collectors will never touch fans or handle the tears directly. Instead, they'll only collect fluid right from the source, fans' eyes, using sealed jars and tear droppers. They can gather everything from a steady stream of sobs to a single tear. All the jars are sealed and the droppers are sterilized and are limited to one use per person. Then the tears will go through a months-long sterilization and distillation before they become Crier Ball. So you can get it at Eagles Cowboys. That's the first opportunity. Then they're going to be at Packers Bears, Ravens Steelers, and then two college football games, Auburn and Alabama and Michigan Ohio State.
I can't think of anything more disgusting.
Oh, I can. There's a lot of things more disgusting. Would you rather, all right, you either drink that or smell the gas that people were canning their own farts?
Oh, I'd much
you
rather.
Open up the can and yeah. you whip.
Give me the can.
Oh, I'm drinking the tears.
Because it's just like it's somebody else's bodily fluid.
I know.
It's disgusting.
You'd think that'd be like a liability thing. Is RFK approving this? Is this an RFK plan?
Have you ever had artificial vanilla extract?
Artificial vanilla.
Of course.
You guys know what you're eating there, don't you?
No.
Ooh, you might want to Google it. It is the secretions from the glands of a beaver. An artificial vanilla extract, I swear.
It tastes good, though.
I've always wanted to eat.
I'll keep doing it.
Right after your chips.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's right. Gen Z, my favorite. My absolute favorite. Gen Z mothers are bringing babies to job interviews.
Oh, just like Sirianni.
Yeah.
How big of a joke was that from Howard? What a sellout.
Yeah,
he wants to suggest to us that we have more balls standing up to Jerry Jones than he does talking about Nick Sirianni, a head coach versus the most powerful person in the NFL. What a simp.
Yeah, he didn't like hold Spike up there and make him answer questions about nachos.
So what they're doing is they're feeding their child, dressing them in an outfit that matches. And they're setting up an activity center while they're doing the job interview because they want their employer to know that this is what you're getting.
Oh, God.
This is what they're getting. And they don't want to pay for the child care. Because child care is expensive. Child care is crazy. Yeah. But it also means that they're probably living in areas where their parent, they don't have family that can or a neighbor that can help too. So
is it a sympathy play as well?
Could be a sympathy play.
I would think it would play opposite though. I would think some employers would just go, "Oh, this gives us an opportunity to make up another reason why we didn't want to hire you." Like, and it would open up. I would think you would if you're actually worried about that. I would think you would want to hide it and then be like, "Surprise! Now you get this, and you're just gonna have to deal with it."
Why would you want to go there? I mean, it's not worse than bringing your parent with you.
No,
to the job
interview,
as apparently some did.
Child care is expensive. Every time going to an interview for a job that's not guaranteed, and then the next sentence says, "As a multi-hyphenate mama,"
is that like the couple that's getting married?
I guess, but pulling double duty. all these days is difficult, so they're bringing their
kid. Yeah, I don't feel bad for you. Like, you have to. I didn't know if it was strategic.
If it's strategic, it's like, come on, what are we doing?
What does that
mean? Have to, you have to.
Multi-hyphenate mama.
That's what it says. I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
I don't
Tuesday
know, but
makes
don't
so
say,
much more sense.
Don't say anything about it until we figure out if it's cancelable.
It's a person, especially a celebrity, with several professions or skills.
Huh. Like you, Bobby.
Yeah.
All right, the Junk Drawer, every Friday, commercial-free expressway here on your home of the Cowboys. The five things RJ wants to see is anyone picking Dallas to pull the stunner with Cooper Rush at quarterback, and Bobby has bad news about the referees. The official Cowboys filthy selections are next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.